they, you know, I've often analyzed it. What happens is a devotee comes in contact with a non-devotee, and by his preaching, he lifts up their consciousness. And when they're in a high state of consciousness, he sells them something, he, you know, gets them to make some sacrifice, and then the devotee goes away and his consciousness comes down. And he feels bad about it. He wants to return the book, he wants to get his money back, he, you know, wants his membership fee back, etc., etc. So the way to overcome that, as I said before, is by reinforcing through logic that the person has made a good choice. Tell him, remind him that you're glad that he's purchased the book. It was a good choice. It'll help him to increase his knowledge and to achieve peace of mind, etc. And another process to find out how to bring people to the glad stage where they can purchase something is the problem-solving approach. And that is basically finding out from him what his ideas are. This has a lot to do with preaching, much, much more than we give it credit or that we emphasize on, that we have to look through the eyes of the customer, the member, to try to understand what their feelings are. And if you can see through their perspective, in other words, you're trying to tell him from your perception about why the book is good or why participation in ISKCON is good, you won't necessarily communicate with that person because he's seeing the world in a different way. And you cannot always, if that's your attitude, you can't always find what he wants to do. We've seen this many times in fundraising that devotees will get an idea. We've got to, you know, build a temple. And they'll go out to a donor who wants to distribute free food. And they'll preach real hard, we've got to build a temple, we've got to build a temple, we've got to build a temple. And maybe the guy will give something, but he actually thinks, why don't these people feed the poor? And if you had asked him what he likes to do and asked him to feed the poor, he would have given you a donation 20 times what he gave you to build a temple. And then later on, when he felt good about the organization, he might have donated for that. So the next thing here is they'll donate much more when they donate to you. Practically speaking, a lot of us have experienced this in terms of our relationship with our parents, isn't it? How many of you have had that experience? A lot of you. I've seen it again and again and again. Parents will donate when they think the money is going to their child. And especially they'll donate much more when they think the money is going to their child's child. In other words, when their kids get married and have a child, they feel, you know, very happy about that. But if you tell them it's going for the mission or whatever, they have a reticence about that. So we have to actually, in our preaching, we have to learn how to make people feel good about associating with us. We have to make them feel good about devotees. And there's an example, a kind of mundane example, but just to give you an example how people, they'll have one kind of standard, but they'll act in a different way. There was a girl who, Mary, she was talking to a friend of hers, and she was talking about her marriage, her recent marriage, and there were two people who she was about to get married to. One was Bill and the other was Bob. So she began describing Bill as the most wonderful all-American or all-European or whatever you want to call him. He was the greatest guy. I mean, he was beautiful. He was handsome. He had a very good career. He was very intelligent. In fact, she said, when I was with Bill, I felt like I was with the most wonderful person in the world. So then her friend asked her, well, why did you marry Bob? And she said, well, when I was with Bob, I felt like I was the most wonderful person in the world. So in your preaching, it's important that in dealing with the prospective member, the prospective buyer, the prospective customer, you have to learn this at heart. I mean, it's funny, but there are two groups of people, basically, who respond to flattery. Women and men. So, we have to learn the art of making people feel good about being Krishna conscious. And this all has to do with they'll donate much more when they donate to you. And they'll donate to you when they feel in your association very good. So you have to learn how to develop personal relationship with people and actually just like you feel. Who's the person that you feel very good with? Who's the best person in this world who you feel very good with? Huh? Your Guru Maharaj? Anybody else has that feeling? How many others have that feeling? Okay. So in the same way, you also have to become the Guru Maharaj, right? For so many other people. You have to learn how to make people feel good. People have a self-image of themselves, and you have to learn how to boost their self-image. Again, in terms of people that you associate with, a gossip. If you're with a gossip, they're always talking to you about other people, what this one's doing, what that one's doing, who married this one and who ran away with that one. That's a gossip. If you're with a bore, a boring person, a dull person, he's a person who's always talking to you about what? About himself, right? But when you're with a fantastic conversationalist, what's he always talking to you about? You. So, again, this is preaching. What can I say? It's a fact. It's selling, it's preaching, it's spreading Krishna consciousness. And this afternoon we'll show you a little video about the need to train ourselves in many different aspects. It sounds like, it sounds like a motivational seminar that you might go to at IBM or Rockwell or whatever, some big corporation. But it's a fact. There are different things that you can do to establish rapport with people, smiling. It's interesting, you think of, I don't feel like smiling. But the fact is that if you practice behaving the way you want to feel, you'll be surprised how very quickly you'll feel the way you want to behave. It works. I just can't tell you enough that if you try to feel jolly, very soon you'll start feeling jolly. So smile, relax. In preaching, eye contact is very important because eye contact gives people a sense of trust. When you look people in the eyes and tell them something, they just believe it more than if you're looking here, there, and looking up at the sky, and because they sense that you're not really being truthful. Address people by name. Try to remember Prabhupada. What was one thing about Prabhupada that most of his disciples remember? He remembered my name, Prabhupada would always remember his disciples' names, although he had thousands of them. Another trick is, and this is not so obvious, but we try to mirror the behavior of people, their speed. In other words, if you're, like going at 90 miles an hour and he's like, really slow, and there's no sync there. So if a person is much slower in his mannerisms, cool-headed, whatever, you know, you shouldn't be a wild zealot. You should, you know, leave that role for a little while. And if you really want to be effective in your selling, you mirror the behavior of the people that you're preaching to. Humor them. Humor is one, especially self-effacing humor, joking about yourself. People feel that if you can laugh at yourself, then, you know, you must be a pretty good person. They like that self-efface in most cases. Think about people, the people that you preach to. Keep a record of them, phone them up, send a follow-up letter. All of these things will convince people that you're actually sincere about helping them. The greatest or most persuasive technique in selling in the world is when a person feels that the other person selling to him actually cares about him and wants to help him. So you have to actually do that. Here's one for you. This is nice, actually. What is a member? We'll go over it. Oh, you can't see it. Beautiful. You see it now? You see it at the back? What is a member? A member is the most important person in this office, in person or by mail. A member is not dependent on us. We are dependent on him. So this, it's our congregation. We're dependent upon the people that we preach to. We should never, of course, we're devotees. We know everything comes by God's grace. It's all due to karma and his blessings, and you know, those people out there have nothing to do with it. That's one kind of good mood of detachment. But I've found also that without the proper understanding, the so-called detached mood leads to impersonalism, insensitivity, many things that will block our preaching. They're not the right mood for preaching. We should feel that, just like I'll give you an example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a new bhakta came to the temple, to the mutt, and he stayed for a couple of weeks and then he left. Blooped, as we say. So this was brought to the attention of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he lamented that, oh, my Guru Maharaj came to me and I was not able to recognize him. So that's pretty far out, but in general, of course, we should have this attitude that the people who are coming to us are sent to us by Srila Prabhupada, and therefore we should treat them that, you know, we're dependent on them. A member is not an interruption of our work. He's the purpose of it. We are not doing a favor by serving him. He's doing us a favor by giving us the opportunity to do so. A member is not someone to argue or match wits with. Nobody ever won an argument with a member. A member is a person who brings us his wants. It is our job to handle them profitably to him and to ourselves. Again, this is the idea we're talking about, win-lose. In preaching, everything is win-win. Everybody benefits if the proper mood of preaching is there. So that was just a fill-in here. So these are the last four ideas in this morning. The members' perception. Just to give you an example, in society, there are different names that come to mind when you think of excellence. You think of, at least in America, IBM Corporation. Even today, at least, of course, they've lost a lot of market share, but at a certain stage, they were the premier corporation, International Business Machines, the largest corporation in the world. And there was reason for it, because within their company, they gave very, very good service to their customers. Delta Airlines, also one of the biggest corporations in the world, and they were known for their service to their customers. They would go out of their way to render good service. Disneyland. the biggest theme park in the world and making billions of dollars every year. The reason is that they are just impeccable in their approach to dealing with their guests. In fact, they don't call you their customers. If you don't capitalize the G in guests in a memo in Disney, you're in big trouble. In other words, an inter-office memo, and you know, you don't capitalize the G in guest, you know, you'll get some reprimand. They really train their people and focus on the idea that everybody who comes to their theme park is not a customer, he's a guest. So these companies stand out for quality. One of the reasons is they give quality, but I'll give you some other organizations that give quality. The electric department. Maybe in America, New York, I forget what they're called anyway, NY something or other. Here you also have some large corporation that gives you electricity every day. Water, the Water Corporation, or the Post Department. Just think, they're giving you very, very good service. Every day you've got water and electricity. You can take a letter and for a small charge, you put a little stamp on it for 20 cents or something, 50 cents, and it'll go anywhere in the world and get delivered within a few days or a few weeks or whatever. They're giving you actually very amazing service. And if you think about it, what would you be prepared to go without? IBM, Delta Airlines, Disney, or water, electricity, postage, right? They're giving you very good service, but the perception is that they're not. You know, we always complain about our water bill, about our, you know, electric bill, or about the post office. If there's anything to complain about, you know, they attract our complaints. Now, one of the reasons why IBM, Disney, Delta, etc., are perceived by the public as giving very good service. Who knows why? Who can guess? Yes. Yes. They train their staff. Yes. They constantly tell you about it. They constantly tell you that we're giving you good service. Whereas the Post and the Telegraph and the Water and the Electric, they just, you know, they don't bother. They don't have any. More and more, they're getting a little hip to this idea. In America, at least. But the fact is that the members' perception of ISKCON is all that there is. There's nothing more than the members' perception. We may be treating our members, doing, we literally, what we think we're doing the best thing for the world. Is there anybody here that doesn't believe you've dedicated your lives, right? Everything, not just a few hours or a few weeks, or you've dedicated your money, your time, your clothes, your everything you've changed for Krishna's service. We believe we're doing the highest welfare work, para upakar. But the public, they don't necessarily have that perception. And in fact, if you would go out door to door, I think you would find totally the opposite. Because that's their perception in one way or the other. They've developed this perception about us. So it's very, very important for us to shape the customer's perception. One way is, for example, there are many companies that write built into their slogan, they give you that message, what they're doing for you, how they're helping you. We're here to serve, or, you know, we're, if you want to have your, in America, they have this express, what's that, express service? Sending packages? No, not DHL. Federal Express. Federal Express, their part of their slogan is, when you want to have it delivered overnight, we're here, Federal Express. So, in our preaching, in our selling, etc., we have to learn how to shape people's perception, that they will perceive us in the right mood, and this is quality, and that they'll come back. I got my clock here. I'm watching. I'm almost finished. I'll give you an example of good perception, how it can be shaped. Their boss, a Norwegian company, that was, they were both of them, two companies, they were selling salmon. So one was selling red salmon fish, and one was selling pink salmon. Now the pink salmon company was outselling the red salmon company 10-1. So the red salmon company went to a consultant, a business consultant, and told them, do anything, as long as it's legal, do anything to increase our market share. We can't exist like this. So within a few months, the market share of the Red Salmon Corporation skyrocketed way past the Pink Salmon Company. So the Red Salmon Company went back to the marketing, management consultant and said, what did you do? You know, how did this happen? And the management consultant said, well, we just changed your logo. And it said, genuine Norwegian red salmon, guaranteed not to turn pink. So just by a little thing, changing the perception of the public, they were able to get tremendous results. So the next one here is, to make new members, ask the golden question. Okay, the golden question is, what is the unmet want? I'm repeating myself over and over again, and it's a fact because it's such an important thing for us. It's something new for us to look at ISKCON from the outside in, to look at the people that we're preaching to from their perspective. What is it that they need? What is it that they want? What are their desires? And if we can somehow or other convince them that we're fulfilling their needs and their desires, they're going to become our sishya. They're going to become our followers, our devotees. There's many ways that you can do that, how you can convince them that you're meeting their needs and wants. One way is to, you know, provide service for them with a new twist. Not that you actually trying to do something different is not the right way. That's much, much more difficult. But to actually, by what you're doing, but with a little twist, you can add some new flair, some different idea, just like Prabhupada in his preaching in the West. He didn't do exactly what people from the Gaudiya Mutt would have done, but he did a lot of the same things, but with a little bit more license because of time and place and circumstance. For example, ashrams where men and women live. He saw the needs of the young people in America, and he made the appropriate changes to meet their needs. They couldn't live completely as, you know, out of sight, out of mind, celibate, you know, monks. It was just impossible, both within the ashram and out the street on the jungle, in the jungle, in the cities. Anyway, there's many, many more things that one can do. It takes brainstorming is important, asking people what it is that their wants are and seeing how you can best take care of them. To keep members for life, ask the platinum questions. Now, the platinum, of course, you all know that gold is more expensive. Platinum's more expensive than gold, I'm sure. So making members is important. One way is to fulfill the unmet wants. In other words, convincing people that we're helping them, dealing with their needs. The platinum questions are, and there's two of them. One is, the first question is to always ask people, how am I doing? Again, it's a new attitude for us because we always look at how am I doing internally. We have our own standards for perceiving how we're doing. We ask each other. But what I'm trying to tell you today, and what the rest of the world is trying to tell you, what the best marketers, the best preachers, etc., are trying to tell you, is that we have to ask our public how we're doing. It doesn't necessarily mean that we'll take all the information that we get from them and agree perfectly, but we do have to ask them, how are we doing? So we get a perception how to deal with them. We get an idea how to deal with them. And not only ask them, how am I doing, but we have to ask them, how can I get better? Again, all these things that I'm talking about today are part of developing the right atmosphere within our society so that we can make members. So they may seem like a little philosophical or abstract. You may not know exactly, we have no experience how we can measure these things. There are obvious ways once you start to think of doing it, just like Prabhupada's centennial. Once you start to think of how to spread the message of Prabhupada, we'll start doing it. If you think it's impossible, you'll never do it. By surveys, it's obvious. And some of, we've done this in America. We did a survey of our members in America. And we got a tremendous amount of very valuable information. People never believed me that direct mail would work. As I said, London just earned £6,000 in sending out a letter to a few hundred of their members. Doing a survey of your congregation will give you such valuable information that it will literally turn your whole concept of preaching around. You'll see ways which you can make very great strides in bringing the public closer to us. We want people to come closer to us. But without consulting them, without finding out what they think and how it is we can do better, it's going to be very, very difficult. I'll just finish up here. The ninth thing is the five best ways to keep members coming back. The acronym used here is quite simple. Again, it's pretty much the same thing as before. Reliable care. So this is five things here. Reliable. We should be very reliable. In other words, we should be consistent. Too often we see that we're very inconsistent in dealing with people, both in our administration. We change our administration every couple of months. We change our policies. I've seen it so many times in our temples. People come, they get used to one particular policy, and then we change it. And they come back and they don't know, and, you know, it disturbs them. So just in the way we deal with people, the way we treat them, the way we honor our promises, it's very important to be detached. One of the biggest things about sadhus in India and why they get a lot of donations is because they have a spirit of kind of detachment, in a sense. They may, you know, go out and preach and try to get funds, but the bottom line is that they have a spirit of detachment. So we also have to have a spirit of detachment in the sense that, or at least a vision, let's say a vision, maybe that's a better word, that if you go out of your way to help someone, if you go the extra mile in developing a personal relationship with one person, you cannot estimate how big a preaching program that is, because that one person, he can go on telling more and more and more people. As I said, word of mouth is the most powerful kind of advertising. So being consistent sometimes does not seem practical. You know, taking the extra care and trouble to deal with someone's needs at the temple, getting him prasadam, or, you know, I could be out selling books, or I could be out working on my computer or something, and this guy's, you know, he wants to make a phone call because he just arrived in the city and he's got to contact someone, or he needs a place to stay and he can't stay in the ashram and I should find him a nice hotel outside. And that may seem like extra trouble, but you have no idea how such action will boomerang it will a boomerang. You know, the where's Priyavrata? Boomerangs are these sticks that they throw, and you know they come back and hit you on the head. Activities done to take care of a member in a very consistent and reliable way, they'll boomerang. They'll come back on our society. Then the other four are credible. This is care. It's easy to remember. Credible. We should be very genuine. These are jiva souls. They're fallen conditioned souls. If we have a genuine love for them in our preaching, the most enthusiastic preacher, he really cares for the people. And we have to be sensitive to that. People are suffering. If we talk about it again and again, if we, you know, one of the ways that we can convince ourselves about our own, to keep ourselves stable in the spiritual world, is to reflect upon how miserable the material world is. And if we do that and reflect upon the suffering of the fallen conditioned souls, we should also genuinely feel empathy, feel compassion for them, and want to help them. And that's, our society will have, just like in Sarajevo, the devotees were very credible. They have a credible reputation there. So much so, in their Food for Life, when they came to a new city, the Red Cross was there to greet them. And the newspapers were there, seven newspapers were there to greet these two devotees who, you know, got off the plane and like, wow, you know, what happened, you know? Usually we get off the plane and people, you know, throw tomatoes or something. But, you know, here's the Red Cross and all these organizations. So credibility, our organization, and in your dealings with others, we should be credible with members. Attractive, of course, that goes without saying, cleanliness. In Bombay, one of the biggest comments by members when they came to the temple was that I like to come to this temple because it's always clean. Our own personal, Prabhupada said, you eat to please whom? Bhakti Charu Maharaj used to quote this all the time. You eat to please yourself and you dress to please others. You never heard that? Prabhupada quoted that all the time. We should be nicely dressed. We should wear nice cloth. We should be nicely groomed in every way. So in dealing with people, they'll feel relaxed and confident about us. Care. Okay. Responsive. We should be responsive to people. This means basically that we should be available. We should be accessible and available. In the temple, there should be a department for receiving people. It's always there. If you phone the New York temple 24 hours a day, you'll get at least a 10-minute ring because there's no one there to answer the phone. That's not very reliable. That's not very responsive. People will think, what kind of organization? If that's the way they treat me, you know, how can I put my life in their hands? And emphatic, the last one is emphatic. Again, think of other people according to their feelings and put yourself in their shoes, try to see how they are. Okay, are there any questions? No questions. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.